Here's my interview with Millie Jackson. Let's join it right now.
I think I read somewhere that you get awards for bad record covers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I did. And back to the S.I.T., I had sat on, it was a picture of me sitting on the toilet.
Yes. I saw that.
And the company from the plumbers, they called me and they were having an anniversary, and they wanted to use my cover for the Plumbers Association because I was sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, the only thing that I thought was wrong with that picture, it wasn't gold plated, honey.
Yeah, well, the whole that was not my idea, believe it or not. They were trying to keep me in that, you know, down yonder, and they didn't know what to name the album. So the girl from that was the head of A&R called me, and she says, "Okay, we finally came up with the album title." I said, "Okay, what is it?" And she told me back to the. And I said, "Huh? Back to the what?" She says, "I don't say that word." I said, "Well, if you can't say it, how the hell are you going to put it on the cover?" So she say, S.I.T. I said, "Oh, okay. I got the cover." So she said, "What you mean?" I said, "Don't worry about it. I got the cover." So they came up with the title, and I came up with the cover. And the whole idea of the cover was, I was dressed rather nicely.
Yes.
But I needed, I got a pair of underwear, and I tore the underwear off the rubber of the top of the underwear, and I was trying to find a pin to pin them together because what I was trying to express was the fact that I'm all dressed out nicely, and you see women dressed all nice, and they got a pin in their underwear.
Yeah, wearing the crappy underwear, but being beautifully dressed. There you go. I got it.
And that was the hardest part of the cover to do because trying to find a pin that was big enough
to show
that
up.
You could see it in the underwear. I had to send the guy out 3 times to buy pins because they were all too small.
You never send a man to do a woman's job. Don't you know that, Millie?
I know that now. I did not know that then.
It is totally terrific that at a time where it was very difficult for women to, let's shall we say, express ourselves, that you were out there expressing yourself.
Definitely.
Why
and that
you
was
think...
because I never had a manager, so I didn't have anyone to tell me what I could and could not do.
Ah, okay. So you didn't have a manager. How did all this happen then?
I'm responsible for myself. A gentleman named Billy Nichols was very instrumental in my record contract, and he produced Ask Me What You Want and A Child of God. They did that. And then the record company brought me in one of their producers after that, but I still didn't have a manager and refused to sign a managerial contract with anyone.
That's where the $30 million comes in, Millie.
Oh, so who got it?
You know, you must have got it because the manager didn't get it.
No, the manager didn't get it. So maybe it's in a Foot Locker somewhere, huh?
Yeah, maybe so. You just haven't gone through enough of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but how did you, now you actually ended up on a stage just out of a dare, right?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
We used to go to the Palm Cafe on 125th Street, every Thursday night because they had a live band and it was a restaurant, you know. So I would get off from work for my day gig at Traff and just go hang. A group of us would go hang. So one day we were there one night and they said somebody was singing. Anybody could sing who wanted to. And they I'm saying, boy, does she sound terrible. I didn't know I could sing. And they said, you think you could do better? I said, anybody could. So they bet me $2 that I would not go on stage and sing. So I went on stage and told the band I wanted to sing, and they said, okay. And guess what I sang?
I have no idea.
Don't Play It No More, Benny King.
Wow.
And someone was there eating dinner that owned a ballroom down the street, and they hired me to work 3 weeks later to do a gig at the Crystal Ballroom. And I took all my money and bought new clothes to perform in and learned me 3 songs. I did Maxine Brown, Baby, It's All In My Mind.
Yes.
Don't Play It No More, It's All In My Mind. And B.B. King, Rock Me, Baby, Rock Me All Night Long.
Oh,
that was my 3 songs I did for my show. Someone was there who hired me to play the Zanzibar in Hoboken, New Jersey for a month. And that was it. From then on, I just worked New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut every weekend.
You know, talk about somebody being in the right place at the right time, Millie.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think that kind of stuff happens today?
Yeah. In fact, I don't plan a whole lot. I just try when opportunity knock, I say hello.
Wow. That is so cool. And so what were you doing, though? What was your day job before you got discovered?
I was the first black waitress at Traff's on Fifth Avenue.
Lord. Unbelievable. That's pretty cool.
Traff's Restaurant. They had 129 restaurants in New York.
Yep. I'm familiar with them. That is so
cool. I was the first black waitress.
Wow. So you've been breaking down doors ever since the very beginning.
Well, I didn't know I was until after I said okay and I looked and I would be the only one or the first one or whatever. You know, I just did what I felt like doing.
Now, did I read this correctly? I think your mother died when you were young.
Yes.
Yes. And you and
yes.
your father, well, you were born down in Georgia and then moved to New Jersey, was that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And that must have been, so who actually raised you?
5 legal wives and 1 shacker.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's a bit interesting.
I was grown before I realized what an ordeal that would have been for my father. I remember one day I was talking to my son, and it hit me that he was 18, and for some reason it came up in my head, you know, my father was 18 when my mother died, and I'm going, wow, 18? What would an 18-year-old man do with a 9-month-old child, and it's a girl?
Yeah.
So that was the day I forgave my father for all of those stepmothers I hated.
Well, you know, sometimes we just, we grow up in spite of things, don't we?
Yeah, yep.
How old were you when you got your first job, when you were out in the world?
16.
16, yeah. Pretty independent. Were you still living at home, or had you moved out?
No, I had moved to New Jersey with my real mother's sister.
Okay.
And I lived with her. I left Newark and went to Brooklyn. And my cousin informed me that Monday we were going to find me a job, and she took me over and got me hired at Schraff. And I came from Schraff that night, and she took me to Boys High to enroll me in school.
Wow.
Night school.
Night school. But,
and people always go, Boys High, you went to Boys High? I said, yeah. It was called Central Evening. But it was Boys High in the daytime.
I see.
And that's where I graduated from. I had about almost a year left to graduate. I graduated at 16, and I was working at Schraff's full time.
Did you like
as
to
a waitress.
Sing? Did you like to sing with the radio? I mean, had you always enjoyed singing, or?
I never thought about it. In fact, I never thought about it now until you asked me. I know I like music, but singing just was nothing I never thought about until they bet me.
Well, Millie, I've seen pictures of you. I've never had the joy of meeting you, but I've seen pictures of you, and you had a particularly big mouth, so I guess that's why you could sing so well.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about that is, you know, then I had a big mouth, and my grandfather used to tell me, my mouth is as big as yours, and you have to learn how to pinch it down so it doesn't look so large. And now everybody has more mouth than me, because they're going and get injections for the lips and everything else, and my mouth looks small now.
You got a puny mouth?
Yes. Compared to all these injectable lips that everybody got.
Well, you know, are you still out performing?
Yeah, as much, but I am. I have to take time to run my companies, so I don't work as much as I used to, but I do a few gigs when it makes sense. I still have my band.
Yeah.
They've been with me since 1978.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yep. We family. We are family.
You know, you have a record company now, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And so,
not that I'm doing anything with it.
Oh, okay. Well, what other businesses do you have? What businesses do you
well,
run?
Well, you know, I still have to run my publishing company for those 30 million.
Right.
And I still write. And all the stuff that was recorded, I have to keep record of that. Ace Records bought up all of my previous stuff that Spring had. And I put out a couple of albums on Weird Records.
You know, what's the name
but
of
the last one I put out, Ace put together, I do country. I love country music. And they remixed my old country records, 17 of them, and I recorded a new one. It was called Redneck Crazy. So I changed it to Black Bitch Crazy.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm getting the idea
here.
You
left me Black Bitch Crazy. It's all your fault.
I like it. I like it. I was looking at some of your music, and let's see, what was the Merle Haggard song, If We Are Not Back in Love by Monday?
Yeah, most people don't realize that's a Merle Haggard tune because he did it more up-tempo, and I slowed it down.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do you like country so much?
Because they have good stories.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They do have good stories.
R&B music now, to me, is just everybody sound the same. You can't tell one from the other one. And, you know, and nobody really plays it unless they do play the old stuff. Since Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke recorded, each one of them did an R&B song 2 or 3 years ago. I'm no longer R&B. I think I'm doing urban soul or something now. Who the hell knows what I'm doing? And Little Richard is doing rock and roll. He was inducted into the R&B Hall of Fame with me about 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, they don't want white people and black people to do the same kind of music, so they have to change the names so people can distinguish the difference between the artists.
Unbelievable, isn't it? It is unbelievable. Well, you also sang with, you and Isaac Hayes did some songs together.
Yeah, I did an album. I produced an album on me and Isaac.
Now, how did you get to
be
an album?
I had never sang harmony before, and I booked studio time for us for a week to get the vocals down, and it took us 2 days. He said, don't worry about it. You sing yours, I'll find you. Took us 2 days to do the whole album.
Ah, that's pretty impressive. So what did you think of Isaac Hayes? What did you think of Isaac?
Oh, he was a sweetie.
Yeah? That's beautiful.
Yep.
So how did you get to be producing your own records and everything? That's a pretty big stretch, isn't it?
Well, they got me a new producer, and Spring Records had heard me do If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Do Right. They had heard me do it live, and they wanted me to record it. And they hired me a new producer to produce that song on me. And we went to Muscle Shoals to record. And he says, I have no idea what she's doing. She's going to have to come down here. So I decided if I got to go down there and you don't know what I'm doing, I guess I'm co-producing this album. So I was not supposed to be the producer. I was just supposed to be the singer. And there are 50,000 copies of that album released that says produced by Brad Shapiro. After that, they say produced by Brad Shapiro and Millie Jackson. Because I said, okay, then the next time he don't know what I'm doing, I won't go to Muscle Shoals. Let him do it by himself, since he's the producer.
Hmm. Well,
and that was the end of that. We became partners.
That's a good way to get recognized, Millie.
And paid.
Well, that's $30 million. So what projects are you working on right now then?
I can't make up my mind what I'm doing now. I started to do a cooking show.
What kind of cooking, honey?
Oh, I cook good, very good.
Okay.
And everybody likes my cooking, so I was going to do a cooking show. And when they brought somebody over to talk to me about the cooking show, I was trying to get it on HBO, and I found out how little money they paid for cooking the first year. They pay you more money every year you're on, you make more money.
Okay.
But I said, oh, heck no, I'm not going to survive the first year. I'm not going to do all of this for this little money, and that was the end of that. Now people keep bugging me about doing Millie the movie. I've written the intro, period. I haven't gotten any further. I guess you can see I'm kind of lazy.
Well, I think you're one of those creative people that has so many possibilities that you could do that it's hard to focus on one.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because that's me. I'll be all into it, and then I'll decide, oh, well, and go to some, get another idea and go to something else.
Now you did a play, right?
For four years.
Yep. Young man.
And I'll never make that same mistake again.
Because
life to drove me crazy.
Well, the name of it was
because
Young Man.
I was the producer, I was in it, I was everything, you know. And everybody else just did their part and drove me crazy.
Yeah, and it was called Young Man, Older Woman. Now, what was that about? I was very interested since I don't know what the play was about.
Actually, it was a song first.
Okay.
I had a bus driver that could sing, and he wanted to get into the recording industry, and I had told him, okay, but you too young. I can't be, I got to find the right song for us. So finally, I came up with Young Man, Older Woman, and I wrote the song, and he had quit before the song was finished.
He quit driving the bus?
Yeah.
Lord.
I didn't own the bus. I was leasing the bus. So he quit the company and went back to Chicago, and I couldn't find him. So I got someone else to sing the song with me. So Norman and I did the song instead. And it was pretty good song, got good airplay and everything. And I decided to do the play called Young Man, Older Woman. Because at that time, you know, everybody was, it seemed to be the end thing now, you know, for older women to be dating younger men.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the song.
Called a cougar.
And, yeah, cougars, yeah. But I wasn't a cougar, see, because my lyrics is, and still they are falling in love.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The young boy fell in love with his older woman. And that's what I end up writing the play about. The young man in the play and I, we wrote it together and put it out there.
Okay, so just for the record, was the older woman in love with the younger man?
Yeah. Still, we are falling in love.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got it. I think I do.
I don't know why he was in love. It could have been because he thought I looked like I was acting like his mama or something, you know. But but at least according to the record, we were in love. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. So you did that for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Wow. That was quite a run.
Started in 92, ended in 96.
Wow. And then what? You went on to Martin Lawrence and you had a special
No,
role?
I did Martin Lawrence while I was doing that.
Oh, okay.
We were playing L.A. and Martin came to see the play and had me do his show. But
really?
That after the play closed, that was when I went to radio.
Okay. Well, how do you feel looking back on your life now? I mean, you know, and looking at the things that have happened to you, the places you've been in the right place at the right time, and things have just come together and happened. How do you feel looking back at your life? What do you think about when you think about your life?
I really don't think about it. I take it day by day and try to do things that I can live with, and that's it. You know, I don't do a whole lot of planning. Whatever happens, if I think I can handle it, I deal with it and make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, but I would think, you know, one would have to kind of say, you know, if I hadn't taken that $2 bet to get up on the stage, there's a poem by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a wooded forest, and sorry I could not be two travelers or one traveler and travel two roads. I mean,
uh-huh.
Well, if you hadn't taken that dare,
I probably would have never started singing.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe...
Is Shrafts still open?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You might have become a manager of Shrafts. I think some people just leave kind of, what shall we say, charmed lives because they just happen to be the right place at the right time. Something happens, something else happens. Who would have thought, you know, today we have the internet and YouTube and people get on there and they get discovered and all that kind of stuff. But I do a classic country show on Saturday mornings, and one of the things I'm always amazed at 12 or 13, so-and-so had a radio show for 30 minutes or 15 minutes at the local radio station, and then how their career progressed.
Yeah.
And this is really the same thing with your story. If you hadn't taken that dare and gone up on the stage, and so-and-so hadn't been sitting in the restaurant and heard you sing.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It truly is. I think this is terrific. So have you got any big plans for the future now? You got anything that you're saying, this is what I am going to do next?
No.
No?
Like I said, if opportunity knocks, I'll say hello.
Well, I was listening to some of your music, and I really liked, let's see if I can pull this up or not, this song about rose-colored glasses.
You know that's a country song.
Yes, I know. I know.
Oh,
and
okay.
I love it because it is a country song, and that's what first attracted to me. I said, well, I gotta check this one out here. So let's play a little bit of it. See if it's going to come up. All right. Where are you at? Come on now. There we go.
Keep on believing you need me when you're through. So many times it ain't true. And I can't find a reason for saying maybe my leaving would be the best for you. But these roads are that I'm looking through, they show only the beauty, 'cause they hide all the truth. Yeah. I don't let me the one I used to hear when I held you, and they keep me from feeling so cheated, defeated, when reflections in your eyes show me a fool. But these you believe me when I say my robe. Color death is a sign. Cause she's a rose star.
Wonderful, Millie. I love that song. I think it's great. You know, my parents, when we moved to, grew up in Connecticut, and then we moved to Maine, and they bought this big old house, and it practically was falling down, and as they stood outside looking at it, it was the first house they owned. My mother looked at my father, and she goes, maybe we had rose-colored glasses on when we bought this house. So, you know,
I recorded, Kenny Rogers, Sweet Music Man.
Wow.
And when he played Carnegie Hall, I was living in New Jersey, and I went. And I went backstage, and he says to me, if I had known you were in the audience, I would not have sung Sweet Music Man. And he sent me a wooden check holder for cancel checks,
right?
With a brass $1 million check on the that was on the top of the check that he had written to me and signed by him.
Wow!
Yep. Yeah.
Wow. That you know, that is so terrific. You know, this has been so fun to talk to you and to talk to somebody who truly has been out there, I'd have to say, living the dream.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, you've shared some good stories and some good memories, and I know you're going to be keeping out there, keeping the memories alive. Now, but I want to ask you one more question. How did you and Tony Spearman meet up?
We didn't. We just on the phone.
You're just on the phone?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you guys had met each other or something along the way, or you
know. Well, you know, I'm old. If we did, I don't remember it. but we've been talking, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Tony sure thinks a lot of you, and of course she's over there in Germany, and just was in Paris last week. And
yeah, she told me she first saw me in Germany. I was playing in Germany,
right,
when she first saw me. I used to do, I used to call it my tour of duty. Every year I used to go and do the army bases in Germany for a month.
Oh, so nice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was that when Tony was in the arm, when she was in the service?
Yeah. Yeah, she said that's where she first saw me.
Right. Yep. So she was in Germany, and that's how. Now, what made you decide to do that?
Money.
Did you just go to Germany, or did you go to other places too?
No, mostly Germany. There was this guy that booked the bases over there. And he used to book me every year to do 30 days at the bases in Germany.
Was that when you were raunchy, honey?
Getting there. Not quite there yet.
Getting there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. I just wondered. This morning on the air, I played Wanda Jackson.
Okay.
She's a country singer. Does a lot of blues stuff, too. And I played her, and Wanda Jackson and Anne Margaret used to go during the Vietnam War. They were over in Vietnam, and my husband, who said when they came on the stage, a normally rowdy group of 5,000 troops or whatever became very quiet.
Wow.
Wow. How did you find things when you were performing?
Well, in Germany, it was mostly clubs, but I also did Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere, I was in Japan for 2 weeks. And what else? I did a couple of bases in England.
In England, yeah. Well, that's...
But that was it.
That was it, okay.
The other ones were in America, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I feel that this was a lot of fun, and I'm going to have to double thank Tony for hooking us up here today, because this
well,
has been
thank
a blast.
You. Huh? I'm going to thank Tony, too, for hooking me up with you.
Well, this was a lot of fun. We'll be, I'll send you a link to the interview when we post it, so if you want to go back and hear what we talked about, you can.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. And, Millie Jackson, thanks so much for coming on with us here today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to a legend.
Thank you. You can take your finger off the button now.
Thank you very much, Millie.
I'm teasing you.
I know. I know. You are quite a lady. Thank you so much, Millie. You have
Thank
a great
you.
One.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Millie Jackson right here on WCRS. What a pleasure to interview a true legend that influenced, she influenced so many things as far as music and whatnot. Let's see, here we go. I found it. Okay, Millie Jackson and Isaac Hayes, You Never Crossed My Mind. This is a great one. We're going to play that one as we go towards the top of the hour, folks. Let's see if I can get it pulled up so we can play this for you. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I sure enjoyed talking to her. She's one of those people that just was in the right place at the right time every time, and I think that is terrific.
We both agreed that it was going to be a one-night thing.
Here it is. Billy Jackson, no Isaac Hayes, You Never Crossed My Mind.
Yeah. I lay there every night with you alone.
And I'm used to nights that go by slow. And I wake up every morning where you left me. Wondering which way today is gonna go, but you never cross my mind. Though I cry from time to time, no, you never cross my mind. You just stay there all the time. I got a letter from you. Promise me you ain't gonna do that.
But from time to time, my eyes find your picture. The very one I forgot to put away. Just another memory trying to make me miss you. And I find one more reminder every day. But you never cross my mind. Though I cry from time to time. No, you never cross my mind. But you just stay there all the time.
You wanna know why I'm calling you? I want to know why you wrote me.
Well, I just wanted to say hi.
I can understand that, 'cause now and then a friend will say they saw you. And I said, what could all that matter to me?
You know what? Late at night when I'm content with being lonely, I get this unwanted visit from old misery. And that's why you never cry.
go. Millie Jackson, Isaac Hayes, You Never Crossed My Mind, right here on WCRS. That was so much fun to interview and talk with Millie Jackson, a super accomplished woman who just always was in the right place at the right time. That was a live interview right here on WCRS from Greenwood, South Carolina, WCRS, your world-class radio station. Hope y'all enjoy the game. Clemson is coming up right now. The pregame is, that is. So I'm going to sign off. Have a good one. And as always, keep it right here on WCRS, Western Carolina's radio station. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Bye-bye, everybody.